neighbor and just say, hey, you're looking better than the last time I saw you. Hey, open up your Bible today, and I'm going to get there in a few minutes, to Psalm 139. I want to talk to you today about taking inventory again. And taking inventory, regular inventory of our life, can be and will be so productive because it helps us answer questions about the direction that we're moving. Helps us to look and see if we're growing or we're declining in our character or our relationship with God, and helps us to look and develop goals and make sure that we're not allowing obstacles that don't need to be in our lives to hinder us from becoming what God wants us to be, and helps us to determine what changes that we need to make in our lives to help us move ahead effectively. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says it this way in the New American Standard. It said, he who is spiritual, he appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Simply saying, when you appraise, when you take inventory of your life, no one else will have to. I want you to consider this. Determine to take inventory of your life. Look at the relationships in your life, with your relationship with God, with your family, how you treat your spouse, what your relationship is with your church family, your friends. And be honest and ask God to help you see what is in your life and maybe some behavioral changes that you have to make in your life without making an excuse for all of those things. And I was standing in the back after the first service, and a precious couple stopped me, and the gentleman was just, he was telling me that he sometimes has an anger issue, that he gets upset at certain things and at certain people. And come on, if you're going to be honest, I don't know about you, I get that way. I have that sometimes, things that bother me, and I get upset about them. And I told him this story. I'm just going to be open and vulnerable with you here for a minute. I'm on several different committees in the city, and this one that I'm on, to be honest with you, and I'm not going to tell you which one, I really don't care for many of the people that are on it. I know that sounds bad, but I'm just being real honest with you. And they were trying to corner me in on this thing that they were doing, and I stood up in there. I said, that is wrong. That's morally wrong, and you need to stay out of it. You have got no business. And I was fired up about it. I mean, I was not going to sit there. I know when God puts me in places, he just doesn't put me there to be a bump on a log, but to be a voice and to speak what's right and to come against what's wrong and evil. And I'm going to do it, no matter where I am. And they got all fired up about it, and they want to have a meeting with me. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to have a meeting with them because I know I'm just going to get fired up again. And I sent it off to a leader in the city who God has opened a door with me, and I've been talking to him. And I've told him in the past, I said, you know, the Bible says when you face challenging things, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And lo and behold, this guy that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't go to church, I sent him an email. I sent him, I got to struggle with this. I'm just making some decisions. I'm going to check out of it. He sends me back a scripture that says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not a half an hour later, he sends me back another scripture. This guy that doesn't go to church, doesn't know the Lord, doesn't claim to, not a bad guy, just unsaved, sends me back a scripture, Hebrews chapter 13. Read it. I'm reading that chapter. I'm thinking, man, this is good. And I'm thinking, here, this guy, this unregenerate, this unsaved, non-Christian, is talking to me about something. And it dawned on me, the inventory in my life that I'm carrying around is not healthy in that area, and I need some help with that. And so I go back at 58 years old to God, and I say, Lord, I know, and I thought you knew that I was almost perfect, but I guess I'm not. Amen. And I need some help in these areas. And I need to bring this before the Lord and say, God, I need help in this. I really do need help in this because, you know, I want to deal with stuff. I was watching a really spiritual movie last night called Tombstone. And you know what? Wyatt Earp, he just knew how to handle some things. Doc Holliday, I quit talking about that. But no, please don't judge me on that, okay? Sometimes, you know, I'm all for the good guy. I'm kind of not against them. Anyways, praise the Lord. Help me out here. Somebody just amen me or something here. Give me a little help. Don't leave me out there. God does love you, but he wants to encourage you to make the appropriate decisions of your life in your life that helps you to move forward. And you got to take the inventory in your life. You got to see what are those things that are inside of you. And I've been on this now for 3 weeks. The first week I talked about, are we living in the last days? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, I just want to get out of here and God just come and take me out of here at all time. The reality of it is you don't know when he's going to take you. You don't know when he's coming back. But the reality of it is these are our last days. They're your and my last days because, and I'm going to read the scripture in a moment out of James, says our life is but a mist. It's a vapor. You're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. So you are living in the last days, each one of us. Last week I talked about when we take inventory in our life, are we living a stressed out life? And Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull, its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. Saying that if you go out with the axe every day and you're cutting wood and you never stop to sharpen that edge, you will be exerting a whole lot more energy than's needed. The same with being stressed out. Many times people are stressed out because they're not taking the time to come away and get with God or just chill out over a cup of coffee and let life just settle down around you so you can look at it from another perspective. And today I want to talk about, in taking inventory, consider God's will for our own lives. What is God's will for our lives? Everybody wants to know what that is. I'm going to help you to funnel that into a direction today so you can understand it maybe just a little more. In James 4, verse 13 through 15, reading out of the New International, it says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. He said, why? You don't even know what will happen, what your life is. You are a mist. You appear for a while and then you vanish. In a moment, you are gone. And any time, you know, as friendships or in our families or anything that we experience that, the reality comes to us in an all so pointed way. Life is but a mist. It's here and it's gone. And he said, instead of you saying, I'm going to do this and do this and do this, and not allowing God to have any influence in your life, he said, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Because if it's not his will, then you're just spinning your wheels and you're not going to get to the place where he's called you to go. And 1 John 2:17 says, the world and its desires, they pass away. They'll be gone. But we live. But he says, but the man who does the will of God, what? He lives forever. When we do the will of God, come on, you ought to thank God for that right there. When you do the will of God, we live forever. Living and finding, what is the will of God? Some people say, well, I'm going to throw a fleece out there. It's an Old Testament term, but it's not relevant in our lives because some people say, you know, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. If it's above 60, then I'm going to go to church. If it's below 50, then I'm not going to go. I'm going to use that. Come on today. If it's sunshine and I'm going to do this, if it's not, Lord, just show me. Some people say, I'm just going to flip my Bible open. I'm going to find the right verse and I'm going to close my eyes. And wherever it opens up, that's what I'm going to do. And that didn't work for this one guy. He flipped his Bible and he opened it up to 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 4. And it says, therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks and sent them away. The man looked at that and he says, that can't be it. He moved the pages of the Bible a little more and he came to Luke 10:37 and it said, go and do likewise. You got to be careful when you're trying to determine the will of God for your life. Is it the will? Is God's will for my life specific? Is it broad? The will of God in your life is like a goalpost at the end of a football game. That you're always trying to move through life to get that ball through those goalposts. Right, Gabriel? Gabriel's my champion grandson football player. Him and Grayson Huntington are tearing up the football field. Just had to throw that in there. Or the will of God for your life. And you'll love this. It's like playing a golf game and keeping the ball in the fairway. Amen. Now, I called my resident theologian, Paulie Lamandola, to find out if I'm using these phrases right. He said, yes. The will of God is like the fairway. When you hit the ball, you want the ball to go down the fairway. If you mess up, it goes in what's called the rough, where the grass is tall. And then it's hard to get that ball out. When I play golf, that's why I hate the game so much, because I always end up in the rough. And so we need to know, what is the will of God? How can we understand? And if we're going to funnel it down to the fairway or to the goalpost or to the lane, we've got to, number one, know what the sovereign will of God is, what God is doing in the earth. Because if I'm going to know what he wants to do in my life, I have to know what his will is in the earth. And then I have to understand what the moral will of God is. What God has already said in his word concerning morality, the moral will of God. And please do not engage in promiscuous activities and try to change the word of God to fit your lifestyle. Because if it is not in the word of God, he's not changing it to accommodate to your fleshly passion. Come on today. And then it's the personal will of God. What God desires for my life. And the more I get to know the sovereign will of God, and the more I get to understand and do the moral will of God, the better I will discern what the personal will of God is for my life. And so, as I progress on here, let me ask a couple questions. Number one, this is something when we're determining the will of God in our lives, what am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing that I should not be doing? And this is the scripture, Psalm 139, that I wanted to read. Verses 23 and 24. If you underline in your Bible or if you're using a phone or however, write it down. Search me in the New Living. I like how it's written. David says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Look at this. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And I love how this version says this in verse 24. Point out anything in me that offends you. And then lead me along the path in the fairway towards the goalpost of everlasting life. Lord, what is it? What am I doing that I should not be doing? And then the second question that complements that, what am I not doing? Hello? That I should be doing. What am I not doing that I should be doing? Have I just let go of what I need to place more attention on or more focus on? Am I committing my life to his will and the purposes that he has for my life? Or have I just let them go aside? What am I not doing that I know I should be doing? And this is so important because God's great will comes to our lives when we engage in what we should be doing and let go of what we should not be doing any longer. And I'm not up here with a laundry list of do's and don'ts. Each one of us know the things that we're engaged in that we shouldn't. I was very vulnerable and honest with you. Sometimes I get upset when people just act inappropriate. And even though it should grieve my spirit, sometimes I take it to another level and I shouldn't. And I got to get better at that. Amen. How many of you will pray for me today? But clarity comes, joy comes, peace comes, a definition of who we are comes when we begin to follow these principles in our lives. And how many of you would rather have me just get up here and lie and tell you how good I am all the time, instead of telling you how much of a scoundrel I really am? Will you still accept me that way? Yes. Ew, not very many. Babe, will you accept me? Okay, oh, that did it right there. She looked at me and said, oh yeah, babe. So let's put it to the test here. 1 John 4:1 says, friends, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits. See whether they're not, if they're from God. Number one, am I in a right relationship with the Lord? You got to start there. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today, because He's got a plan for you, and nothing, no future, no goal setting is better for your life and mine than if until we're in the right relationship that God has for us. And when I make a decision in my life, I cannot make that decision rightfully when I got a whole bunch of other issues in my life that are watering down the perfect will of God in my life. If I've got anger in my life, if I've got unforgiveness in my life, if I have moral discrepancies or whatever it is in my life, I've got to get my relationship right with God before I can move and find out what the will of God is. And some people, unfortunately, spend a better portion of their lives just jacked up because they won't work on that right there. And Romans 12, 2 says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing. You got to start up here with your mind that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will of God. It's got to start with the way you think in your relationship towards the Lord. Number two, what does the Bible say? And sometimes people try to get the Bible to say what they want it to say. But can I tell you something today? That this word is infallible. It's true. It's right. And if it's in between the pages of this book, you can go to the bank on it. It'll stand true in the test of time from here and into eternity. Nothing will stand true like the word of God can in your life. And if you're not living and doing what it says, you're not living to your potential. Luke 21, 33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but what my words will never pass away. If you live in this, we don't follow after culture. Well, culture says I can do this and I can do that. It might be acceptable in culture, but if it's not acceptable in the word of God, you better not do it. My father-in-law said, he used to use the word, you dasn't do it. I don't even know what dasn't means. I don't even know if it's in the dictionary. But if it's not in the word of God, you shouldn't engage your life. And then number three, a famous phrase, what would Jesus do? James 3, 14 through 17, he says, if you harbor bitter envy, look at the selfish ambition in your hearts and you don't boast about it, you deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly. It's unspiritual. And look at it, it's of the devil. Really? Bitterness? Envy? Harboring those things? Selfish ambitions? He said that doesn't come from God. Look at, for wherever you have envy and selfish ambitions, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Every single one. But look, it goes on. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, how many of you want wisdom from heaven today? Come on. Is first all pure, then peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive, it's full of mercy, it's good fruit, it's impartial, and it's sincere. Does your decisions follow any of these attributes? Because if they're in the other column, you're connected with the wrong source. Number four, we're seeking the will of God in our lives, taking inventory in our lives. Number four, have I sought godly counsel in my life? Do I have the right people in my life to speak truth into my life? And this can be so difficult for a lot of people. You get going in one direction. You know, I meet guys all the time. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. When you don't let the word of God and you don't have godly people in your life helping you through the corridors of this life, somebody will tell you what to do. And it won't come in the way you hoped it would. We need godly counsel in our lives, not from those who want to hurt us, but from those who want us to grow in the knowledge and the things of God. You need mentors. You need men and women in your life that can speak life into you. Hello, listen to me now. This is some of the most important thing. There's many people in here today. You just live this renegade life where you have nobody that you're accountable to. And until you're accountable to somebody, you have somebody in your life that you can bear your life to. You're living only on half the power that God has called you to have. Proverbs 11, 14, lack of guidance. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. You got to have the right people in your life. And the right people doesn't mean they're going to tell you everything you want to hear. Seldom will that ever happen. Amen? Amen. You know, I say this all the time. I meet with my pastor on a regular basis. I take him to lunch. He calls me, I want to get with you. I don't care where I am, what I'm doing, if it's in the realm of possibility, I will drop everything, I will change and move everything to let him come and speak into my life. And let me tell you something, it's only been a benefit to me. I remember sitting in a meeting some 15, 18 years ago that he was being celebrated. I think it was his 20th anniversary at Bethel. And they invited me to come. He's been there, I think, now 37, 38 years. And one by one, these leaders got up and were talking nice about him. And I thought that was great. But when his children got up one by one and started telling everyone with tears down their face how much they loved their father and how much he meant to them, I sat right there that day. I said, I want that. Because I grew up in a home where I couldn't say that about my father. My father was abusive, alcoholic. He hurt us. But when I made that turn and I let godly men begin to speak into my life, come on today. The fruit of that will not only exist in your own personal life. I'm talking to some dads here today. You need that in your life. The fruit of that will show up in your children's life as well. And when that happens, my brothers and my sisters, then you got it going on right there, baby. And it's not too late. I don't care if you got kids in their 20s, 30s, or 40s. Begin to make that turn in your life, and your kids will do what they see you doing. Don't ever forget that. Got to have godly counsel. Number five, do I sense God's peace? Deb, you can come up to the keyboard. I'm going to close in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God, he's not the author of confusion, but peace. And let me say this. I'm not talking about peace, meaning, oh, I just feel good about that. I'm talking about a godly peace that cometh down from the Father of lights. A peace that passes understanding. I don't know why I'm feeling this peace in the middle of this whatever I'm going through, but I got peace in it. That's God's will for your life. He'll show you that. And lastly, number six, is it my will or is it God's will? Listen, if you ever want to grow up in God, you got to make your desires his desires and not just your own desires. I sense this morning that for some of you, there's some change coming into your lives. There's for some of you. And as I was standing over there as we were worshiping, I wrote on my iPad that if you need help in an area of your life, don't isolate yourself. You can call the office. I'll meet with you. If I can't meet with you, we got men and women that will meet with you, that will talk to you. If it's more complicated than that, we have counselors that will help you navigate through that in your life. Don't isolate yourself. Let God have his way in your life so you can begin to live in the will of God for your life. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he was praying and he was sweating drops of blood. And in Matthew 26:39, he says, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup pass me by. And this is what he said, yet not as I will, but as you will. Because we want the will of God for our lives. What am I saying here? I want what God wants for my life, period. Nothing more, nothing less. I want God's will for my life. And when that happens, this peace comes over your life like you could never imagine. You will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come on, how many of you love Jesus today with all your heart, all your mind? I want the prayer team to come down, stand in the front. I just want to leave you a couple of things. Ryan, I'm going to have you come up and close in prayer. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that before you go today. Any one of these folks can help you. They can pray with you and you can make that a reality today. If you're out of God's will, if you're just engaged in things that are crazy, come on, look at yourself in the mirror. If you're not, if it's way outside of God's will, make a turn. Don't carry that stuff around you for life. Make a turn. Let God begin to help you. Just close your eyes today. Ryan, come on up here. Even while he's beginning to pray, if you want to come down, you come on down.
Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it's the word that we needed, Father, that you're changing us from the inside. You're changing our hearts. You're changing mindsets. You're changing destinies. You're changing a purpose in this place. God, we give you our lives again. I ask you this morning that not one would leave without that prayer, without that touch, without that healing brought. God, I thank you for the people that are here this morning, for taking the time to give back to you, God. I pray that you bless them this morning. God, I pray that you bring protection and peace into a home this morning. In your name we pray all this. Would you say amen, church? Amen. It's so good to see you this morning. If you need prayer, don't leave. These people down here would love to pray for you.